Can I welcome you here? We've just gone into the afternoon now, haven't we? This afternoon at St John's, this Good Friday. My name is John Knight, and I'm part of the staff team here at St John's. Christians would say that Good Friday is a momentous day. In fact, the most momentous day in the whole of the history of the world. The day God's true King and Saviour of the world died on a cross for the sins of the world. And we're going to reflect on that momentous day in words of scripture, a brief reflection, and the music of Joseph Haydn over this next hour or so. The service will follow the outline that's on your programmes, with each of the seven utterances of Jesus on the cross being preceded with a scripture reading and a brief reflection, as I've said. So without further delay, I'm going to hand over to the musicians who are going to play the introduction for us.
And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
These words are remarkable. Despite the evil human beings are doing to him, Jesus has demonstrated his wholehearted willingness and authority to forgive. For he is the one whose primary purpose, Matthew tells us, is to save his people from their sins. The one who has already demonstrated his authority by saying to a crippled man, Son, your sins are forgiven you. As evil men are doing their very worst, God is doing his very best through the death of his Son. And the mystery and the wonder of it all is that by putting Jesus to death on a cross, evil men are in fact providing the means by which a holy God is able to forgive, as Jesus takes upon his shoulders the sins of the world. As we listen to the music, reflect on the fact that Jesus had in mind not only the soldiers who were nailing him to the cross, the religious leaders who had called for his crucifixion, and the Jewish nation that had rejected him despite all the evidence, but also you and me, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus makes intercession for every transgressor who truly repents and seeks his forgiveness.
Thank you.
one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Not only does Jesus have the power to grant forgiveness, but he also demonstrates that he has the authority and the willingness to grant eternal life. Without forgiveness, all face eternal death. Only Jesus, the author of life, has the power and authority to reverse the consequences of our sin. This Jesus, who during his earthly ministry raises an official's daughter, a widow's son, and a personal friend to physical life, is the one who has the power and authority to grant eternal life. As he says to the repentant criminal, "Today you will be with me in paradise." For he's the one who on the third day demonstrates beyond all doubt that power and authority by raising himself to life. And as he dies, Jesus knows that he's making it possible for us to be forgiven and inherit eternal life. As we listen to this next piece of music, reflect on the fact that both criminals, either side of Jesus, had equal access to him, but only one looked at Jesus in faith. Only one criminal had his eyes open to the fact that the one being crucified alongside him was the one who not only had the power to forgive him, but to grant him sure and certain hope of eternal life. And what was true for the thief can be true for you too.
Thank you.
Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold, your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold, your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home.
During his time on earth, Jesus displayed unmatched empathy and compassion towards those who suffer, particularly those who were overlooked and on the fringes of society. We are told on many occasions that as he viewed the crowds and encountered different individuals in their need, he had compassion on them. The Greek word for compassion is a word that relates to the gut, the feeling you have deep down when you see distress. And as Jesus suffers and bears the sins of the world, he is still able to demonstrate wonderful compassion. He sees his mother, and he sees John, the beloved disciple, standing vigil by the cross. No doubt physically tired, emotionally drained, and deeply upset. And he shows them compassion. They are not overlooked. They are loved. Woman, behold your son. John, behold your mother. Jesus identifies with their pain and anguish as they observe all that is happening to him. He sees Mary in need of a son and John in need of a mother. As we further reflect, as the music is played, take to heart that Jesus, the compassionate Saviour, does not overlook you, but identifies with you in your pain too. The one who was despised and rejected reaches out to you on the cross with compassion and love. He's the one who says to us, "Come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest."
Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Herein lies a deep mystery. We tread on holy ground. We hardly dare utter an explanation for what is happening here. These words echo those of David in Psalm 22. They are words that express the profound anguish over the loss of that perfect close communion with God, his Father, as Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us. And just as there were 3 days of darkness before the Passover in the Exodus story, so here preceding these words were 3 hours of darkness. God expresses in picture language the profound nature of what was happening here. The holy God, who cannot look upon sin, indicates his displeasure by sending the darkness. Not just a gloom so that you can't see, but a darkness that goes to the very depth of your soul. A darkness experienced by us, for us, by the Son of God. And these words reinforce the fact that Jesus, God's beloved Son, is now under God's righteous judgment, an object of his wrath under his curse. And yet the key purpose is to make clear to observer and reader alike what Jesus was doing. Yet even in the awfulness of that sense of abandonment that Jesus felt, he still expresses unshakable faith like a small wavering candle. My God, he cries. He knows his Father is there. He knows the Father hears. But he endures what he has never before experienced, that the sense that the Father is not there, that he does not hear. As the music plays, we are being made aware, if ever we needed to, of the evidence of the seriousness of sin and its consequences. We only need to listen to those words again. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Jesus endured the curse of sin, experiencing what it was like to be forsaken by God, so that we would not bear the eternal consequences of the curse of sin or experience eternal forsakenness, hell itself.
After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth.
These next words fulfill the scripture in Psalm 69. And we read these words, "For my thirst they gave me sour wine to drink." A hyssop plant is used to give Jesus wine vinegar to drink. And in the Passover story, a hyssop plant was used to apply blood on the doorposts and over the lintel of the door to keep the Israelites safe. Thirst is a very human experience. It indicates a basic necessity that humanity has. For God to save human beings, he had to become like one of them. The Word had to become flesh to experience what we experience. This thirst was no mere quenching of physical thirst, but the one who came so that we would not thirst endures thirst so that our thirst can be quenched. The writer to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament tells us, "We do not have a high priest," that is Jesus, "who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted and tested as we are, yet without sin." As the music plays, remember that as Jesus endures darkness, isolation, and thirst, all very human experiences, that in doing so, he is experiencing the epitome of hell itself for all who would repent and believe. He thirsts so that our spiritual thirst can be quenched. For on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water."
Thank you.
When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Whilst the cheap wine vinegar did not fully quench the thirst of our Saviour, it did perhaps enable him to utter the words, "Tetelestai." It is finished. It always will be finished. The primary purpose of Jesus' coming was completed. The goal had been reached. But what do those words mean? In a sense, clearly the physical sufferings of Jesus had now ended. In another, the work of his earthly ministry was completed too. But there was much more to these words than that. The word was used by various people in everyday life, as a servant would complete a task assigned by the master. They would say, "Tetelestai." When a priest examined an animal to check it was spotless and acceptable, he would say, "Tetelestai," complete, faultless. When a merchant received payment in full for his wares, they would say, "Tetelestai," the debt is fully paid. And likewise, Jesus is the faultless, spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the one who fully pays the debt for our sin. Over everything he did on the cross can be written, "Tetelestai." It is finished. It will always be finished. The penultimate movement of Christ's utterances reminds us that the work of salvation has been fully completed by Jesus. There is nothing we need do or can do to be saved. We simply have to repent and believe the gospel. As an old hymn says, "I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me."
Thank you.
It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split.
These words of committal echo those of Psalm 31, verse 5, where the suffering believer, wishing to be delivered from his enemies, entrusts his life into God's hands. And Jesus' words express his faith in God, that God will deliver him. These final words of Christ confirm that despite all appearances, Jesus ultimately fully trusts his Father. From the depths of the horror of tasting what it's like to be forsaken, he reaches the place where at the end, he knows he can entrust himself into his Father's loving and safe hands. At the very end, Jesus can still address God as his Father. The relationship remains. It is secure. And as a result, he can entrust himself into his hands. Psalm 31 was used in later Jewish faith as an evening prayer, asking God to care for and protect during sleep. As Jesus submits to death, he sleeps in total rest and faith, leaving his vindication to God. As we listen to the final two movements of this piece, we can rest assured that for all those who repent of their sins and put their trust in Jesus, we are safe under the care and protection of the Father, even when we go through the darkest valley, death itself. To all who are in Christ, that same assurance and unshakable trust in the ultimate security of the believer is given. Have you turned in repentance and faith and entrusted yourself to him, the only one who offers forgiveness and eternal life? Before I close with a prayer, can I say a big thank you to all of our musicians, to Katie, to Naomi, to Jessica, and to Henry, and for Alan for reading scripture verses for us. Can you please join me in showing our appreciation? And thank you too for coming, and especially those who are watching online. It's wonderful that you've been able to be with us. Please can I encourage you, if you would like to, there's a QR code on the back of your programmes. If you scan that, we would love to have your feedback. And also, if you would like us to connect with you in any way, please do fill out your contact details. We'd love to continue to connect with you, particularly if you'd like to find out more about the Lord Jesus for yourself. And can I also commend to you our Easter Sunday services here at St. John's, well, service here at St. John's on Sunday morning at 10:30. We rightly focus, as we have done today on Good Friday, on the death of the Lord Jesus, but the vindication of all he achieved and the confirmation of his victory with the promise of eternal life is celebrated on Easter Day as we proclaim Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Shall we close with a prayer? Heavenly Father, as we have reflected on Scripture and listened to music depicting the death of your Son, Jesus Christ, through his words spoken on the cross, may each of us give humble thanks for the salvation that is found in him and in him only. May each of us, by your grace, come to that place of repentance and faith and fully entrust ourselves into his nail-pierced hands. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.